Welcome to the Everything ECE podcast. I am your host, Carla Ward, and today I have Jillian Berard joining me to talk about one of my favorite subjects, math. Jillian is a holistic numeracy architect, teaching math through inquiry, nature, and practical life skills, and one of the most important gifts we can provide children, critical thinking over memorization. Welcome to the show, Jillian.
Hi, how are you doing?
Good. I'm so excited to have you on. So, Jillian Berard, can you tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became a holistic numeracy architect?
Yes, absolutely. And first off, thank you so much for having me. Yeah, I know we were just talking previously, and just in that short time, I know that we truly align with our vision for education and pedagogy. And so it's so wonderful being able to connect and talk with people who have this vision for what school can be for kids. So my name is Jillian Berard. I call myself the holistic numeracy architect, and the architect because teaching is an art and a craft, and it's really about being creative and innovative and through child-led experiential learning, because we can't just pull a book, a textbook off the shelf and flip page to page, because that's not how a child learns best. And so what I do, I work with homeschooling communities, unschoolers. I work with in private education, alternative nature-rooted schools on developing credible, comprehensive, inquiry-based, unique math programs based on, I also have a baby, I'm a mother as well. You might see him in the background, I have two boys. But essentially I co-create these unique math programs based on their vision, their values, and their environment. So that it's based on their children's unique inquiries. And my curriculum follows the natural progressions of the seasons. I'm also a forest and nature school practitioner. I've been in education for the past decade, some experience coaching in math and in the classroom French immersion K-8. So in my own business, I focus on K-6 right now. And, you know, I'm a really big advocate for inquiry-based learning. When I first started teaching, I was the teacher who pulled the textbook off the shelf. I checked off all the boxes, I put the grades in, and I was, you know, following all the steps like a robot. And I started to question things of, you know, when kids start asking you, well, what do I do next? What am I doing next? And really looking for that validation and honestly not even knowing what they want to learn about next because they're outsourcing everything. And it clicked pretty quickly for me. And once you start asking one, two questions and you find a couple of answers, you dive way deep. And I just kept on asking, why am I doing this? Why? And the answer usually came to, well, it's always been done this way. And I was like, well, really? Has it been always done this way? And where does it say that I have to do this? Because I always tell people the word worksheet is nowhere to be found in the curriculum, right?
That's so true.
If you control F that, you're not finding it. And so I started to do more child-led and, you know, just asking them, well, what do you want to learn about? And it was funny, the first time I asked that to a student, they were kind of puzzled. Like, I don't really know. They didn't really have an answer because they are just kind of told what to do all day long, passive task completion. And that's, you know, that old kind of archaic factory type style of learning. And obviously our world has changed so much. And if we want divergent thinking innovators and creators, we really can't suppress that intuition and creativity. And when it comes to math, I've always had this passion about math. I've always loved it. And, you know, I followed all the procedures and I played school well is what I called it. You know, I memorized and regurgitated. And when I was teaching math, I found the same thing, very robotic, very procedural. And teachers will talk about it too and say, well, they can't solve this problem, this word, you know, this, they can't do kind of practical life skills in a sense. And it made me think that we don't provide them the opportunity to even do that. So
100%.
And anytime people say, well, the child can't do that, the child, I always say, like, we got to look in the mirrors, you know, and think about what we're doing. It's not the child. The child is perfect. And we have to adjust and adapt and to them. And that's when I went on my search of inquiry-based learning. And I did a lot of research into it, true inquiry-based learning, because I think even that concept has gotten washed away a little bit on what it actually is, and really truly child-led experiential learning. And when I started to do that, I was just thinking, well, I can just weave in the math. through all of this because there's so much math. The children want to create a restaurant. And I was like, well, sure, of course there's so much math in entrepreneurship. So I started weaving in the big ideas of math, the essential understandings, and looked at it more of a bird's eye view rather than the curriculum as a checklist, which we tend to do. And because we don't live our lives as compartmentalized subjects, we don't learn fractions in one season of the year. They are just embedded everywhere. So again, talking about that architect of really rafting and being able to see all the different strands and concepts and everything that they were interested about. And it was really overwhelming, I must say, when I started. Time consuming, very time consuming, and to really shift how I was taught. And it was more about guiding and facilitating rather than being that teacher in front of the classroom. I took my desk out of the room. I didn't have a desk anymore. I, you know, took the schedule and I erased it and I just wrote learning all day. And I did a lot of things that people, you know, did not agree with too. And sometimes it was hard with parents, not agreeing. But I saw kids flourish. I saw kids' confidence skyrocket, kids who didn't want to read or didn't want to answer a problem. And you could tell that anxiety would settle in, that were smiling and happy to do things. And my job was to weave in seamlessly the mathematics. And because I was so interested about it, I've taken many, many courses. I have my specialist in mathematics and I've run a lot of PD for educators over the past decade. And I've gone to symposiums and now I've made it my mission to really focus on mathematics, because we're talking about alternative education or homeschooling, in a sense, a lot of parents automatically think, well, what about literacy and numeracy kind of come to mind. And so I really want parents to feel confident and in the choice that they're making for their child, whether it be homeschooling or an alternative school setting, that they're confident that their children will learn these things. And so I'm working with schools and homeschoolers on how to really build those credible, comprehensive math programs. And I like to call it maximize math moments, because we know there's math in the kitchen. We know there's math when we're gathering, but how can we really maximize that moment so that we deepen their thinking and really cultivate that higher order thinking, critical thinking aspect of it? Because again, we could just go through the motions, but I like to, you know, go into situations prepared, anticipate students thinking, what might come up, what might they say, how will I question back? That again is all a craft and an art in itself, and teaching and practicing. And again, it's very time consuming and it could be overwhelming, especially with my own home life. I was doing so much work and that's why I want to help streamline the process for everyone else, because this is something I wish I had when I started. And I had amazing mentors. I had a little small community who kind of thought the same. And now I really want to expand that and be a mentor for other people, take what I've learned, streamline the process for you, and be that support for them as well, because community is massive as well in all of this. Because sometimes teaching or, again, homeschooling can feel very isolating just with your kind of kids and don't care on what to do next. And there's so many factors, that and your home life and everything. So in a nutshell, that's what I'm doing, creating math programs that are through experiential learning, problem-based, developing critical thinking skills through the natural progressions of the seasons and through true inquiry-based child-led learning.
I love it. And I can so relate to that time-consuming piece, because especially like I started out as a theme-based teacher, and moving from theme-based to play-based, you would think, oh, well, they're just playing. But there's so much more to that, because that is where, you know, your math moments come in, your language moments come in. So how do you find in a classroom specifically when you are finding those maximizing those math moments, how do you do it with so many different learners?
Yeah. And again, that's the time consuming piece as well. But I think the biggest thing for me is through all the courses that I've taken, I know and I'm able to discern what's a quality resource and what's not, because there is a lot of math stuff out there. If you Google, you know, math lessons, math activities, there's a lot of stuff out there, and a lot of stuff is lower level thinking. And it's, to be honest, it's just not great. And I have my library of high quality resources that I use. And when I'm doing a whole group, or even if it's multiple different inquiries, I make sure that it's low floor, high ceiling. So there's multiple entry points that even the lowest student can participate at some point. And I've already anticipated answers and I've already know what I'm looking and listening for. So even when the highest level thinking, I can still push that thinking further, but I can still support, you know, maybe the lowest level thinking that will enter. So everyone feels a part of it. They are, you know, included in it, but I am still prepared to how I'm going to extend the thinking at all different levels. And that really requires you to understand the continuums, the progressions of learning. What am I looking and listening for in this? So there's, you know, people say play-based learning and, you know, they're just playing. And I cannot say that there is so much more planning and thinking and reflecting involved in it, and the pre and post, and like, it becomes extremely time consuming. And I just keep thinking, you know, I started this before I even had kids too, and I had some more time on my hands, and I have two babies running around. Like, I would never have time for this, or just, so I'm really trying to support that process too, because again, like I said, it can be a little bit overwhelming. Where am I going to find these resources? And even then, open-ended problems too, I find a lot easier for multiple entry points. Again, knowing how you are going to extend the thinking. So knowing the progression and small group stuff, like a lot of pulling of small groups. Again, I don't have a desk. I go to the students and I'll sit with them on the floor. And, you know, it's not like, okay, low group, come over here. We're not doing that. It's there mixed into play. And I know my students so well because I just listen, take time to listen and observe. And just a lot of small groups, you know, intermittent throughout the day. Again, it doesn't have to be this math block. We could be learning math at different times in the day. And I do think consolidating learning is really, really important. And I think there is a big misconception that there's no direct instruction in play. It's when it comes into play. And I always tell people, you know, a child is never just going to randomly explore and discover that there's a numerator. It's called a numerator and it's called a denominator in fractions. We have to at some point tell them, like, this is a denominator. That's what it's called. But there's a time and place to do that, right? And it usually comes after they've had that exploration time. And some kids are not ready for the standard notation and some are. So you being the observer, making note of that, and then the small groups is really, really a big one.
Absolutely. Yeah. And that, I mean, that's what ECEs do so much of it in play, is that observation and documentation. And we're coming up to a new school year in September, and that will be a crucial, crucial time for us to really observe and document so that we can integrate that learning, which is just awesome. So let's talk, just for those people who are kind of new to this world of critical thinking, because sometimes it's a word that everybody hears, but I don't think necessarily actually understand. What is critical thinking?
Yes, I love this too. It's another word that's been thrown around a lot, right? So critical thinking for me is the highest form of thinking. Even so, memorization being the lowest form of thinking, critical thinking, there's quite a few skills involved. Analyzing a situation, evaluating it, synthesizing information, which means taking the information that you've analyzed and coming to a conclusion, right? So you are coming to a conclusion in inferencing and then almost creating and innovating a solution at the end. So there are sub-skills of critical thinking. And those are the skills that we need to be developing, which are life skills that we need in general. So I always ask people when they're doing their math problems, you know, on the scale of, say, Bloom's taxonomy levels of thinking, where do you think this lies? Like, are they just memorizing? Are they even just, you know, applying is still lower. Are they innovating, which means creating solutions in a sense? Yeah. Are they evaluating information? Are they making connections? Are they seeing patterns within and relationships within numbers and situations? Like, that is the nitty gritty to me. You know, math is so much more than memorizing, mimicking, and numbers and shapes. It's about being able to communicate, justify, and reason, you know, your thinking and your analysis. And and the patterns and the relationships within which you see. So that's what it comes down to with critical thinking to me, is that I'm almost in my head. I have like a thermometer, a vertical thermometer, and like the lowest form of thinking is the bottom of just memorization, regurgitation, and the highest form being critical thinking and all the sub skills involved in there. And are we making sure that we are even talking about using these words with kids? And are they even reflection and metacognition? Like, I also think that we don't get kids enough credit that talking about these words, like synthesizing to a, you know, and explaining it and using it over and over again, they understand the word metacognition and like self-awareness. They do, but it's about, you know, being consistent and talking about these words. And instead of always pulling out a math concept, talk about the skill that they were using within that math problem is for me. So in my programs, when I work with homeschooling families or alternative schools, we talk a lot about highlighting the skill that they're using during this process.
Absolutely. And language. So for so long, I mean, even when I was in school, you had, you know, red binder was math and blue Duotang was language. And there seems to be this separation between language and math. And over the years of tutoring, I've really learned that you need that language component in math. And even in science, like understanding that the word, you know, mono means one, and then transferring it into things, then the kids start looking for patterns. And understanding, you know, what does synthesize mean? What does, you know, variable mean? Even as little as preschool, kindergarten, if I always joke, if they can say Tyrannosaurus Rex and, you know, name every dinosaur and every type of hot rod, they can handle the math concepts that we are putting out there.
Yeah. Oh, I love that analogy. And I'm going to use that, but I will say that it's from you. If a child can say Tyrannosaurus Rex, they can say the word even metacognition, which I think for me is probably one of the most important ones, is developing that self-awareness of how I learn, what I'm learning, and the process of what just happened. And that ties in the part, like you were talking about having the red binder and the blue binder, but really looking at more from a bird's eye view, that it's all in one binder, right? Yes. And that's just life. We shouldn't live in separate subjects, because if we are not making the connections, the kids aren't making the connections. And that's what holistic math is as well, is not looking at the curriculum as a to-do list, which again, I've been in that spot. I know how it is. So, you know, this is no blame on anyone or shame in any way, but how can we look more of a bird's eye view, or what are the big ideas that we're looking for? How are they all connected? Making those connections for the children. And in terms of holistic, that one aspect of it, the second aspect, I always talk about a physical experience too. We talked about child-led and inquiry and playing off their inquiries and, you know, providing them with an experience, a hands-on experience, and then the emotional aspect of it too. So we have cognitive, we have physical, and then that spiritual kind of mindset, emotional intelligence aspect of it, because when we're learning things and we're going through problems, we're feeling. Like, feelings and learning is not separate. They're very much together. And as adults, I always say, when was the last time you really learned something new? Like, really learned something new in that phase of, like, you know, maybe feeling stupid for a little bit because, you know, you're like, I don't get it. And, or maybe the time that you just like stopped learning it because you're like, I'm not good at this, right? Like, we go through these emotions. And I saw that when I was doing inquiries with children, is that especially they would start the inquiry and there's some point where it started to feel a little bit uncomfortable, right? And they just like, nah, I'm not interested anymore and I'm going to move on, right? And that happens a lot, especially in kinder too, because they're just going. But I found it when I was even teaching junior, they came to a point where it started to feel uncomfortable. And that's when I noticed that, well, why are we so focused on just the subject content? What about the emotions and the regulation that's happening here, emotional intelligence, the mindset that they can't do this. Why do they have that? Why is that imprinted in them? Should we not be focusing on developing mindset of this limitless mind, like Joe Bowler talks about?
Yeah.
And a mathematical mindset, and then the skills to be able to regulate. It's all very connected, you know, the emotional intelligence piece, the physical experience, and then the cognitive intellect and the mindset. And that's, that to me is holistic mass.
I love that. And dead on, growth mindset and having that mindset is so huge. And we need to narrow it or nail it down in that 0 to 6, because once that brick wall is up, that battle of removing the bricks and then telling the children they can do hard things and having them believe it is so much harder once they've started believing they can't. And it really is something to watch children give up. It's heartbreaking. And I think something I hear a lot of parents say, they've done it in my tutoring sessions where they're like, well, that's okay, I wasn't good at math either. And I'm like, no, please stop. It is not okay. You probably weren't bad at math. You probably weren't encouraged and given that growth mindset opportunity. Like, I think about my school experience. Math was awful in high school for me. And here I am going into another year of teaching high school math, and it's my favorite subject, but I had to get out of my own way. And thankfully, you know, teaching kindergarten really helped that build that resiliency, because I didn't want to be a hypocrite telling children that, you know, you can do hard things. And then I'm being like, nope, I can't do this. Right. Yeah. And then Jo Buller, of course, with her amazing U Cubed and Limitless Mind and Mathematical Mindsets, along with Carol Dweck, were life changing for me. And we owe it to children to help them holistically learn math so that they don't get what so many of us are trying to recover from.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, absolutely. I talked to a lot of people about their math experience, and a lot of them say, well, I'm not good at math. And just like you said, I'll say, you know, you didn't have a great math experience, right? Mm-hmm. And you probably learned something abstractly too quickly, which every single concept in math should be taught concretely, then visual, then abstract. So we missed two big phases there. And, you know, there are some kids who just get the abstract. There are some for sure. There are a lot who don't though. And it leads to a lot of gaps, and you see it later on happen. And we don't want to project that onto our children. And I love how you said too about modeling, you know, taking risks, because even as a teacher, but even becoming a mother too, I always think about, well, what advice would I give my child in this situation? And if I can't model that of being courageous and persevering and having that grit and getting comfortable with feeling uncomfortable, then how can I tell children to do it on a daily basis? So that was a big one too. So it's really about unconditioning ourselves from our experience. And it's been imprinted in us, and it's in our subconscious. So I love talking to people and stretching that thinking for me and having that open mindset and really reflecting of like, why, or really, is that what's best for kids? And I'm the first one to say I did all the things at the start that I wouldn't do now. And that's okay. It's okay. Go and you shift. And yeah, there's so much opportunity for that. So
absolutely. And we have that famous quote, when you know better, you do better, right? And that's where we're at. And that's what we're trying to achieve today with holistic math. And I'm intrigued to know, how did you cope with admin and teachers who, you know, questioned the way you were, you know, not doing the schedule, like you weren't doing things separate? How did you deal with the naysayers?
Yeah, you know what? I was really lucky that I have a tight knit community within the school, and they're still my friends to this day. Like, we're still amazing. A connection, because you turn to them. And just in life in general, community, I think, is one of the most important things, and having people to support you through those times. Because when a parent is coming at you, and it can be extremely stressful. I also had an amazing mentor as well. And I've had schools where maybe admin was not as supportive or whatever, but I did have one that was extremely supportive. Again, community. So extremely supportive of everything. So I can see how it would be very challenging if maybe you were the only one at a school. But finding those people who support you and finding those people who want to do better is extremely important. And that's 1000% what got me through it as well, because, and then you come to a point where
I also think that experiences that I've had with some parents where I've had to defend myself, and I knew it was true and I knew it was right, I know what I know now and can explain it because I had to do all the research and I had to defend myself. So I'm actually really thankful for those situations that I've had, that people questioned me, because it made me so incredibly sure of myself, and so that now I have absolutely no problem explaining to someone, showing them where the right information is. And so in the end, it was a great lesson for me to learn, but I do understand how it can be, you know, overwhelming sometimes. So community is everything. And that's probably the number one reason why I'm doing what I'm doing, because I know there are people out there who want to make change and maybe don't know how, or, you know, some people don't agree with them. And there's so many people that are aligned, but I was really lucky with admin and mentor and community. And awesome. I just thought, thinking to myself, you know, I had to do all this research and I had this community and I've done all this work. So many people don't have time for that, or are just not interested in math like I was. So how are they ever going to know this information? Like, I need to spread the word. That's kind of where.
Exactly. And let's talk about that word. Like, where can people, or how can people find your holistic math mentorship program? Find out more about you.
So you can find me at Jillian_education on Instagram. That's where I just post a couple of quick tips for people of what they can do with math day-to-day activities and how they can weave it through practical life skills. And I also have my website. It's called www.jillianberard.com. And that's where I have information on my math mentorship program that I'm running this year. And that's where I have also my offerings as well, when I work one-on-one with schools and homeschoolers. My math mentorship program is the biggest thing I'm running this year. And it's a full year transformation journey that we go on, with continuous support through a private platform. And it's live calls that you can come to with your children's inquiries and ask me any question on how we can weave in math through it. And it also has professional development every month, because I do think that knowing your content knowledge and having that piece is extremely important. But then the ongoing support throughout the year, that I'm in your back pocket if you have any questions. And a lot of it is left open because we don't exactly know what the children are going to inquire about. We can anticipate what you might be doing based on the seasons. I do a lot of outdoor nature-rooted education, but then how we can weave the math through your children's inquiries. And that's what true holistic math is. And it's kind of on the spot and on the go. And that's why I created this mentorship program, so that people feel supported on this journey, because I know how time consuming and overwhelming it can be for people. So on my website, on my Instagram there, and I'm getting started with YouTube and other things, but that's where I'm at right now with my little ones.
That's awesome. I can't believe you're doing all of that with your little ones. My goodness. Well, thank you so much for coming on today. I will make sure that all the links are available for everybody so that they can connect with you further and start their holistic math journey.
Awesome. Thank you so much. It was so nice connecting with you and your community.